multiple times in the pages of Scripture, from the message of God to the patriarchs, the message of God through Moses to the Israelites, to the men and women of Judah, to various nations across the world, to the speaking and teaching of Jesus in the New Testament pages, the urging and presentation of the gospel by the apostles and inspired writers, we have been told to listen. Hear. In our text this morning, Jesus, the text we read closed with Jesus saying, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." I've met very few people in my life who did not have an ear to hear. And so when we think about who this idea of an ear to hear applies to, we need to recognize it applies to me. We spend a lot of time talking about preaching and teaching the gospel and proclaiming the word of God and encouraging others and teaching and talking to others, but we need to remember that the gospel message is for me also. I must listen. I'm the one that these things apply to. I'm not taking away our responsibility to talk to others because they're supposed to listen as well. But one of the things I think we have to constantly remind ourselves is, I know I have to be right first. I need to fix me. I need to work on me in growing, increasing, gaining, becoming more faithful, more steadfast, more helpful. So I must listen. Jesus said, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." Jesus is not just talking about sound coming into the ear and hitting the eardrum. He's talking about taking those things that are said into the mind and meditating on, thinking upon them, considering them, and putting them into action. That's how faith comes, by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, as we talk about this idea of listening and hearing, I want us to make sure we understand we're not just talking about what comes through our ear, we're also talking about what comes through our eyes, our reading. While much of the transfer of the gospel during the first century happened orally, at least to begin with, it is recorded for us in written form now, and therefore much of our teaching, or at least it ought to be, a lot of what we hear with our eyes as we're reading from the pages of Scripture. And so understand that what we see with our eyes are as important, or is as important, as what we hear with our ears when it comes to listening. When Paul wrote to the brethren in Colossae, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, "Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth." Their understanding of God came from hearing the word. We have to listen if we want to understand God. And the message is for my benefit. No matter what message it is, no matter what teaching is going on, whether Jesus is talking to Samaritans or Jews or someone who's outside the realm of Israel completely, whether Paul is preaching in Damascus of Syria, or Jerusalem, or Rome, the message that is proclaimed in the pages of Scripture is for me. God saw that it was preserved so that all mankind would have it, and it is for me. John tells us, and we've mentioned this several times in our Wednesday night Bible class in John chapter 20, John says, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. Our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. These things are written. These things have been preserved so that we know about God and we can believe in Jesus. Paul told the Ephesian brethren, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ. In other words, you people in Ephesus, you Greeks, you Jews, you whoever you are, if you read, you can understand. There's an essentialness to our listening. We must listen. We cannot serve God without it. The Hebrew writer tells us, therefore we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. And as we all know, the book of Hebrews is pointing us to Christ. Since Christ is the spokesman of God, I must give attention to the message that He has presented, because it is there for my benefit. It is there to guide me, to strengthen me, to encourage me, and to lead me home to God. I must listen. It's a personal application. There are some things about our listening that we want to talk about a little bit this morning, some things that will, I think, help us with our listening. And I think the first thing is, I must be willing in my listening. Not just willing to listen, but I desire to hear those things. I want to gather that information. Sometimes we're willing to listen to somebody or to hear somebody without really wanting to know what they're saying. We'll sit there quietly and let them ramble on with whatever their ideas are, but we're not really paying attention to what they're saying. Now, sometimes we are listeners like that and we are unwilling, but we try to be kind and we're willing to listen to somebody. But do we listen with a desire to understand? That's what I'm talking about when I talk about I need to be a willing listener, one who wants to know. In Nehemiah chapter 8, we have the story of Ezra reading before the people of Judah after they've returned from the captivity. And we studied about this not too long ago in our Sunday afternoon class. But in verse 8 of Nehemiah chapter 8, we read, they read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. They read, they presented the Word of God in a manner and such that the people who were gathered there could understand. But it was left upon each of those people as individuals as to whether they did understand. If we go to verse 12, we read, all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing because they had understood the words that were declared to them. They did understand. They had a desire to know, and therefore they were able to gain from the message that was presented to them. We see this kind of understanding multiple times in the book of Acts. And we've got three examples here, but there are a number of places where we see this idea of a desire to know. One is Philip when in Acts chapter 8, verse 30 and 31. After Philip had been to Samaria and preached there and convinced those brethren, and they'd obeyed, and the things going on with Simon the sorcerer, Philip was called to meet the Ethiopian on the road to Gaza. He was called by the Spirit to go down there so that this man who had been to Jerusalem to worship, who was reading from the book of Isaiah the prophet, could hear the message of Christ. As Philip ran to him, he heard him reading from Isaiah in Acts chapter 8 and verse 30. And he asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, if this Ethiopian was like a lot of folks are today, He might would have responded to Philip, no, I'm doing fine. I'm just reading through the Scripture. I'm getting my daily Bible reading in. I'm not interested in really learning more. I'm just reading because I'm supposed to read. And there'll be a few bits and pieces that'll hang around for a little while. But no, he wasn't that way. He had a desire to understand. He wasn't reading and therefore listening to the Word just to be listening to the Word. It wasn't a duty to him. He wanted to know. And when Philip came up and said, would you like some help? He said, yes, come on up here and tell me what these things mean. Talk to me about this individual. Is he talking about himself or somebody else? Explain to me, because he had a desire to know the message of God. Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. We know the story of Cornelius. He was guided by an angel of the Lord to call for Peter. And in verse 33, when Peter came to Caesarea, Cornelius said, I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. And the context indicates to me that this wasn't just, we're all gathered to listen to you while you ramble on. When Cornelius says, we are all here to hear what you've been commanded by the Lord, we want to know. We have a desire for this message. And I think the context bears that out very readily. And then we've got the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. And I think we can see a desire in his request. He brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He'd seen an earthquake. Well, felt an earthquake. The doors of the prison were open. And what happens to prisoners when the doors of the prison were open and all the shackles were broke loose? Well, they run away, right? Isn't that the normal thing we would expect? But none of these had gone anywhere. This Philippian jailer knew that something exceptional had happened. He didn't know what it was, but he knew something different had happened. And so he came to the ones that he had heard singing, probably, earlier in the evening. The ones that he probably knew had been put in jail because they were preaching about Jesus. And he said, tell me what I need to know. What must I do to be saved? And of course they spoke to him, Jesus, and he eagerly answered the call of Christ. And he and his household were baptized. They had a desire to know. They wanted to hear. He wanted to hear. They were, as Peter describes in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, they were like babies who were hungry for milk. They had a desire to learn and to understand. They were willing listeners with a strong desire. Because they were willing listeners, they were attentive. Let's go back to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 3, Ezra read from the word facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Maybe this gets more into the idea of what we think of immediately when somebody says, listen. Are you listening? The idea of attentive. Am I giving focus to what is being said or what I am reading? And here we can get back into that, our daily Bible reading. Sometimes they just become something that we do because that's what we're supposed to do. We got a certain section we're supposed to read every day, and we just read through that and move on to the next one the next day. Are we attentive to what we are reading? And I'll just give you a little tidbit. At least as far as I'm concerned, I have found that it helps if I'm reading from a ordered reading that reads from Old Testament and New Testament. Because I start thinking, well, why would they put these two passages together? You know, why would these two be the things that they put here in this spot? Is there something special that connects these two? And I start thinking about context and things. And so I put a little more thought into my reading than I would otherwise. Maybe sometimes using a devotional book would help with that. But the point is, we need to give attention to what we're reading. That's why when we have Bible classes, we have questions. So that people will give attention to the reading beforehand and answer the questions. Now, most of the question books I've been exposed to through the years, you got the verses out there beside them, so it's pretty easy to just go through and answer the questions. So they don't work out that way so well. But one of the things that I've noticed over the past couple of years is we've had our Bible classes both on Sunday evening or Sunday afternoon and Wednesday evening. Some folks are reading with attention. Because they have questions. Or they make comments. They expound on the text. That means they didn't just read through, well, Dan will probably talk until we get through these five verses. Maybe we'll make 10 verses tonight. They've given attention to the message. And they want to participate in the back and forth. And that's, I'm convinced, the reason we have Bible classes. So we can help one another. You know, when we read in Luke chapter 19, I know maybe this isn't a Bible class situation, but Luke chapter 19, verse 47 and 48, Jesus was teaching daily in the temple. And the chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, but they could not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. We understand that phrase, hanging on his words. They were giving attention to what he said. They were eager to hear more. They were listening with attention. Focus. And that's what Peter urges in Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. When he stands up among the 11, he lifts his voice and addresses them, men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem. Let this be known to you and give ear to my words. That sounds very similar to he that hath an ear, let him hear. Or he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Give ear to my words. It's that idea of listen that we read there at the beginning of our text this morning in Mark chapter 4 and along about verse 3, I think. When Jesus starts talking, he says, listen. Listen. We need to pay attention. We need to give focus to what's being said. Now, this close attention, giving focus to what's being said, will allow us to understand how we ought to respond. And here's one of the places in the lesson that I want to take just a moment to remind you that these ideas about listening helps us not just with our spiritual understanding. Certainly that's the focus of our lesson, is understanding the Word of God and being able to apply it in our life. But this helps in our physical relationships as well. You ever been having a discussion with your children about something they did? Trying to correct them, and you look and you can tell they're not thinking about what you're saying. Sometimes they're thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow. Sometimes they're thinking about what happened yesterday. Sometimes what they're doing is they're trying to formulate in their mind while you're talking what they're going to say back to you. I know this from experience because I've been on both sides of that equation. In fact, there's a great deal of trouble I got into that I would have not gotten into as much trouble if I'd have kept focusing on what Dad or Mom was saying instead of trying to formulate my answer so I could come back right away. Because when I came back like that, they knew what I'd been doing if they hadn't already seen it before. If we listen with attention and we think about what is being said, we're better prepared to respond. James tells us, Let every person be quick to hear. That doesn't mean listen in a hurry. It means be ready to listen. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. When I'm sitting there trying to formulate my response while somebody is telling me something, I am not receiving with meekness. I'm not listening for the purpose of understanding. I'm raising myself up because I'm trying to find a way to get back and make me look good despite what's being said. Mark chapter 4 and verse 24, Jesus, after having spent some time explaining some things about the parables to his apostles, Jesus said, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you." And that principle could apply to a lot of things. How we treat others is how we're going to end up being treated. But we might also recognize that the way we listen to other people may have something to do with how other people listen to us. And if we're dismissive when other people are talking, not giving attention to what they have to say, just always trying to get our point out, then it's very likely they're going to be the same way with us, unless they've got a whole lot of self-control and humility. They're going to respond in kind. These things help us both in the spiritual realm and the physical realm. But Jesus tells us we need to pay attention. We need to give focus to what's being said. Whether we're reading from Scripture or we're listening to an audio sermon, a video sermon, reading from outline, whatever it is we're doing. Doing a Bible class lesson, correspondence course. We need to give attention to what's being said, because that's the only way we're truly going to know how we ought to respond, whether that response is a verbal response or a response in how we conduct ourselves from that point forward. We need to heed the words with the purpose of understanding, and we need to be attentive in order to do that. And we need to be wise. Not every message is from God. Now, some folks, when they hear a preacher presenting a lesson on how you ought to be listening, may say, okay, his point is just that he wants me to listen to him. Well, yeah, I do want you to listen to me. But then I want you to go and check and see if it is from God. John says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." And we could take that word spirit there and apply that principle to us today. And we could say, brethren, beloved, do not believe every messenger. Do not believe every preacher. Do not believe every Bible class teacher. But try them to see if they are from God. We need to listen to the message and use wisdom in discerning whether it is from God or not. That means we're going to have to take some time to investigate and to learn. Jesus said, take care then how you hear. Of course, this is related to what Jesus said in Mark chapter 4 and verse 24. Take care then how you hear. For to one who has, more will be given. From the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. We need to give attention to the message with the understanding that I must be wise in listening to it, and I may need to be able to determine whether this is the Word of God, because that's our purpose in listening, isn't it? Is this a message from the Lord? Is this something I need to apply into my daily life? Or is this something that would lead me away from God And of course, most of you probably already had thought in your head about the Bereans that we read of in Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, Luke tells us that those in Berea, the Jews there were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Well, honestly, it wouldn't take much to be more noble than the Jews in Thessalonica, because they chased Paul out of town and chased him into Berea, for that matter, we read later on. But these were more noble because they received the word with all eagerness. That gets back to that desire to understand. We want to hear. And they examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. They went and looked at the word of God and said, He said this. Is that what this says? He spoke of this prophet. Well, did that prophet say that? Let me look at more than just what he quoted, and let's go look and see if that's exactly what the prophet was telling me. Maybe one of the things Paul mentioned was Isaiah 53. And they went over there and read, and wait, he's right. They went and looked in the scripture. They were wise in their listening because they investigated to see if it was from God. And many of them, therefore, because they received the word with all eagerness and they examined to see if these things were so, therefore they believed. Not a few of the Greek women of high standing as well as men. Now, the focus in the beginning of this passage is on the Jews. They went and searched the scriptures. I don't know whether these Greek women and men went and searched the scriptures or not, but they did something to verify in their mind that what Paul was telling them was something they needed to listen to and take action on. They were wise in their listening. They gave attention to the word and they looked to see if it was truth. And they accepted that truth, and it caused them to believe the gospel. To obey the word, and there was a congregation of the Lord's people established there at that place because they were eager in listening, they were attentive in their listening, and they used wisdom with their listening. And they accepted the truth. It caused them to believe and be added to the church. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, while the promise of entering His rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who had listen. The Hebrew writer tells us that there were some people among the Jews, among the Israelites, that failed to be united with the rest because they did not listen with faith, they did not compare, they did not check, and therefore they did not have verification and they were not obedient. In fact, they were fearful and afraid. And if you go back into chapter 3, you find their unbelief caused them to miss out on Canaan. They died in the wilderness. Because they were not listening as God expects us to listen. They may have heard, but they weren't giving attention to understand. They weren't using wisdom to see the miracles being performed, the proof that was laid out before them, and they did not believe. In fact, as they stood on the southern border of Canaan, there were four at that time that we have recorded believe. Moses and Aaron, certainly, and Joshua and Caleb. Out of all the ones who had crossed the Red Sea on dry land, had seen the glory of God and received His message, four were faithful enough to say, let's go, God will be with us. And that's basically the words Caleb used in encouraging the people. They failed and they died in the wilderness because of their unbelief, because they did not truly listen. let us understand that our eagerness to understand, our desire to know, and our attentiveness and our focus, and even using wisdom, are of no use to us if we don't put it into practice. Taking action, I think we need to recognize, is a part of this urgency we have about the need to listen. I must be active in that. The psalmist tells us, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Why do you store up the Lord's word in your heart? Do you carry it around with you so you can quote it at the right time? Maybe you're like some folks I've run into on the social media from time to time. They can quote a random portion of a verse to fit the situation that they're in. Can't remember the exact quote, but there was one going around a few years ago, and it's probably been going around here lately. Let him be cast out and another take his place. There's absolutely nothing to do with what they're quoting it for. God has a plan for you. Completely out of context. No consideration. If that's why you're reading the Word of God, then you're not going to get anything from it. You need to read the Word of God so you can put it into practice. You need to understand God's Word. You need to carry it in your heart so that it prompts you to keep you from sin. That's the cry of the psalmist. I have your Word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. James tells us that we need to be doers of the Word, not hearers only. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being a hearer, no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. In other words, if we read and study and learn the Word of God and then put it into practice, it stays with us. It is useful. It is helpful to us. It guides us and it directs us. If we read the Word of God and we don't put it into practice, we might as well not have read it at all. What's the point of hearing the Word if we're not going to put it into practice in our lives? That's the message of the psalmist, the message of James. And if we go back again to Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 18, day by day, from the first day to the last, he read from the book of the law of God. They kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a solemn assembly according to the rule. They read, they heard, and they applied. And as we talked about when we were studying in Nehemiah, if they had just kept applying, they'd have been a whole lot better off in the long run. But they failed to continue in that application. We need to do what the Lord has asked us to do, lest we find ourselves in the situation of King Saul. Saul had the blessing of God. He was ruler of the nation of Israel, king of the chosen people of God. And God said, go destroy the Amalekites. Don't leave any of them around. Don't leave any of their stuff around. You completely wipe them out. And we know the story of Saul. He went, he brought back some of the cattle. He brought back King Agag, and he was confronted by Samuel the prophet and told, God is interested in you doing what he says. And Saul's response to Samuel was, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. When you look at those two choices, who did Saul listen to? He heard God and Samuel. He knew what they said, but he listened to the people And it cost him the dynasty. Ultimately, it cost him his life. He lost it all. Because even though he heard God, he didn't put God's word into action. He put the people's word into action. He listened to them. What we do with the message is illustrative of where we were listening. To what did we give heed? Where did the action? Where did it come from? I think each of us needs to keep in mind, I have an ear. And therefore, I must listen. I must be a willing listener. I must be an attentive listener. I must be wise in my listening. And I also must apply what I've heard. I need to apply that message to me. Now, we just sang the song, "The Gospel is for All." And I mentioned before, that song was written during the time of some of the focus upon evangelism out in the world. And you can see it readily in the words of the song. But we need to realize and remember that the gospel is for me, too. I have an ear, and I need to apply the message God has delivered to myself. In the reading we had this morning, it's a shorter, kind of shortened version of the parable of the sower. And when we hear that parable of the sower, if you're like me, first thing we start thinking of, well, yeah, I've run into somebody like that, and I've seen somebody like that, and I've seen somebody like that. What if when we read that parable of the sower, we looked and said, am I like that? Am I that way? Do I let those things get in the way? We need to remember, the gospel applies to me. I need to apply the message to myself. Over in 2 Samuel chapter 12, we have the story of David and his sin with Bathsheba in that area. But in chapter 12 in particular, we have where God sent Nathan to David. And Nathan tells the story. We know the story that Nathan told David of there was a town and there was a rich man and he had a lot. And there was a poor man and he had one little lamb that he'd raised like a child. And the rich man had somebody come and to visit him from out of town. And rather than take from his multitudes of flocks, he went and took the lamb of that one small lamb that man had. And it enraged David. David said, this man will pay. David heard the message. He knew exactly what Nathan was saying. Well, almost. He got the parable. He knew the application, but he applied it to somebody else. In verse 7 of 2 Samuel chapter 12, Nathan said to David, after he was enraged and what this man's going to have to do to set all these things right, Nathan said to David, you are the man. David, you did this. David had not made the connection yet. He heard the message. But he applied it to another rather than to himself. He failed to see that he was the one in the wrong. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, Nathan told him, I anointed you king over the Israel and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul. I did all of these things and then you went and violated my covenant by taking a woman that was not yours and killing her innocent husband. You are the one. And I think that's a powerful story for us. Yes, we have a responsibility to tell others the gospel. To talk to others about the Word of God. But I have an ear too. I need to listen. Jesus speaks and His followers listen to Him. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 24, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you will abide in the Son and in the Father. Listen to what God has said and make it a part of your life. Be active in it. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I tell you, I'm like Brother Bill. I'm excited that we got another speaker coming. And I hope that I can follow my own advice and listen attentively. To give attention to the message that is being presented. I hope that I do that even in our Bible classes. And I hope that you are as well. Listening to what is said. Because that's the only way we're going to learn how to apply God's Word in our lives. I recognize that we are those who have learned of the Lord. We are those who have heard His Word and given attention to it and for the most part have applied it to our lives. But we never get to that point where we can say, okay, I have heard enough. Jesus told His apostles that after all that He had spoken to them, there would be another that would come and remind them of what He had said and tell them the rest of what they needed to know. Peter in his epistles tells us, I'm writing and I'm going to make sure that there's a way that you can know these things even after I'm gone. We need repetition. We need to read and study the Word of God. As God's children, we need the gospel as much as anyone else. We need to hear the Word of God so that we can apply it in our life. If you look this morning and you find there are things in your life that are amiss that need to be corrected, the Scripture tells us that the way to be right in the sight of God is to be added to His family through obedience to the gospel. Confessing your belief in Jesus as the Son of God, the Savior of mankind, as Peter presented Him on the day of Pentecost, following His death, burial, and resurrection. To accept that and to take action upon it, Peter told those Jews who said, "What shall we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of your sins." Have you done that? That's what makes you a part of the family of God. That's putting into action the teaching of the gospel. And then the question, if you've done that, are you still acting in accordance with the will of God? Are you daily considering how you conduct yourself and seeing if it matches what the Word says? Are you reading and studying from the Word of God, listening to what the message says, and then putting it into practice in your life? If you find that you're not, you're sinning your life, and you need to correct that, whatever it may be. You need to pray to God and ask Him to forgive, and He's promised that He will. And if you recognize this morning, the call of Jesus is for you to come unto Him. Time and opportunity is yours. Come while we stand and sing through the curtain.